Hello, and welcome back to Affirmative Action. I'm your host, Antoinette Grajeda. Black-owned small businesses are taking a beating due to the pandemic. According to a report released in August by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the number of active small business owners fell by 22% from February to April, the largest drop on record. Black businesses experienced the largest decline with a 41% drop. White business owners, on the other hand, only fell 17%. The report lists a few reasons for the disparity. First, Black-owned firms are more likely to be located in COVID-19 hotspots. Second, Paycheck Protection Program loans only reached 20% of eligible businesses in states with the highest densities of Black-owned firms. In counties with the densest Black-owned business activity, coverage rates were typically lower than 20%. Finally, weaker cash positions, weaker bank relationships, and pre-existing funding gaps left Black businesses with little cushion entering the crisis. Over the summer, the death of George Floyd in police custody brought national attention to racism and police brutality. One response was a call to support Black businesses across the country. For example, in Arkansas, a group called Arkansas Forward launched a 44-day campaign on Juneteenth to support Black-owned restaurants. While it may be especially needed right now, efforts to support Black businesses are not new. Black-owned Northwest Arkansas has been highlighting businesses through its Instagram account since 2019. And then there's the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, which has a small minority and women-owned business division, and that has an online directory where you can search for Black-owned businesses around the state. To find out how some Black Arkansans are navigating this tough year as small business owners, we reached out to Christopher Austin, owner of Catch and Fade's Barbershop in Jonesboro, and Nicole Calhoun, owner of Elixir Yoga Lounge in Fayetteville. Christopher says he became a business owner to escape the violence that's prevalent in his hometown.
I come from a small town. It's one of the most violent cities in the state of Arkansas. I'm from West Helena, Arkansas. It's nothing there to do. I was surrounded by gang violence and drugs and things of that nature. And it was a thing of, I had a choice whether I choose to do what I was brought up around or a different route. And, you know, just seeing a lot of my friends from the age of 9 or 10 being killed, and from that same life, I decided to take another route. Got it, and I started cutting hair at a early age, like 12 or 13, and I've been doing it ever since. And I started out, my first business actually wasn't a barbershop; it was actually a daycare at the age of 15, and eventually, with the revenue from that business, I end up with the barbershop.
And when did you open the barbershop?
I opened, the first barbershop name was Classic Cuts. I opened Classic Cuts in 2006. And that was 2 years after high school. That was enough time for me to go to school and stuff like that. So, 2000, well, actually, I was working on it the end of 2005. By the summer of 2006 is when I opened. And I stayed open for a few years, and I moved from West Helena to Jonesboro, Arkansas, where I am now.
So, yes, this is definitely my first business. Actually, I don't even have any business experience, really. but my husband is very involved in the business scene in Fayetteville. So he owns several businesses. So he was kind of my mentor in getting all this started. And I really just decided to open the business because I saw a huge gap in the market as far as what we offer, the style of yoga that we offer. Also, I just, from the experience that I had in the yoga communities that I've been in during my tenure, as a yoga practitioner and a yoga teacher, hasn't always been really welcoming and nurturing towards yogis of color. And so I kind of got tired of that and wanted to create a space that was welcoming and nourishing and safe for all yoga practitioners, no matter how they looked.
How did you get into yoga yourself? As you were saying, you know, you didn't always feel welcome in the space. So how, you know, I can imagine a lot of people, if I don't feel welcome in a space, I'm not going to keep coming back, but you must have if you got to the point where you can be an instructor.
Right. So the reason why I got into yoga is because in my 20s, mid to late 20s, I had a series of car accidents where, you know, I'd been rear-ended pretty severely a couple times, and really caused me to have some chronic neck and back pain. And it got to an issue, it got to a point to where, you know, I was seeing a chiropractor 3 times a week and seeing a physician, and the physicians and the chiropractors that I was seeing were looking at this as a long-term pain management issue. And I didn't want that in my life. I didn't want to have to take muscle relaxers. I didn't want to have to be dependent on pain medication to feel normal. And so someone suggested to me to try yoga. And I did. I tried a yoga class in Dallas, is where I started going as a regular practice. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. I loved the intensity of the class that I took. I loved, at that time, I had no clue what mindfulness was, but I knew that it was something out there. And I knew that there were a lot of many, many benefits, physiological and emotional and mental, to yoga. And so it was something that I decided to stick with. And it wasn't until later in my yoga tenure that I started to pick up on things that were what I would consider, and, you know, other yogis of colors that I've spoken to would consider, just not really welcoming. And so even though those things were going on, you know, this practice became medicinal for me. And so it became to where it really wasn't a choice. And I actually felt in my body a difference when I didn't practice.
Earlier this year, there was this movement, especially over the summer, of these efforts around the country to support Black-owned businesses. And I was wondering if you all could tell me what your experience was this summer. Did you notice more people coming? Did you notice more support? Like, what was your experience this year?
Yeah, I noticed more, definitely more support. But I can't say for sure that I noticed more traffic within the studio. I noticed a huge leap of support on our social media channels for the business, and on my personal social media channels. And in that aspect, if I had to be honest, I would say that I got more attention than the actual business did. And I got personal opportunities because of all the outpour and all the love, which is great. You know, but at the end of the day, it's the business that that people were trying to support. And I guess that's a good thing if people think about me when they think about my business. But as far as like a huge increase in day-to-day classes, I'm not sure. But the big ticket items that we have every year for people, I did see an increase in that, like the teacher training that we have. It did fill up the second time that we did it in the year. And the first time we did it, like before everything was happening, it was only half full. So those kinds of things I saw, which are, you know, obviously amazing and great.
No, due to this pandemic, it was actually, I had 3 barbershops here in where I am. My main shop, which is the one that I'm actually in now, I had one on the campus at ASU A-State. I was working in there, and I had another one in William Baptist College in Walnut Ridge. Well, due to the pandemic and the rules and regulations of CDC, I knew it wasn't a joke. So it knocked me down from March until maybe July. So it really took a lot. Because both of the campuses closed, so those shops became obsolete, and my main shop became obsolete until it was time to open back up. And it took a while to get my clientele back, kind of steady, if I would say. Even with the promotion on social media and flyers and business cards, face-to-face, word of mouth, different things like that, it still was kind of hectic on my end, you know, because a lot of people started to take the virus serious because even here in Jonesboro, a lot of people didn't even really care about the virus. They just thought it was a stomach bug or something. And it went from that to everything started closing down. I'm like, oh, this is serious. And when it hit all of the barbershops and salons, it took a toll on us, you know. And still, right now, today, it's hard for us, you know. I still think we still need assistance, you know.
Nicole, how about you? How has the pandemic affected your studio?
So, like everybody else, we had to close down for several months. So I believe we closed down right at the end of March, I think is when we closed down. And then we opened back up on May the 4th. And so, you know, obviously that was hard for us to have to do, especially me, because, you know, I think I had 4 teachers at the time that had to be kind of put out of work, and I had to scramble to figure out a way to keep revenue coming in, income coming in for them, because many of them, this is all they do is teach yoga for their income. And so we just had to scramble and do what we could to keep income still coming into the studio. With that, we did what most, you know, fitness studios were doing, which is go online. And so we went online for the entire time that we were closed. But when we opened back up, I would say maybe 2 weeks later, you know, we had our same, you know, influx of clientele coming back into the studio. So, you know, that kind of told me that what we were offering, people wanted to take at the studio, and the response to the online was kind of lukewarm. And so, you know, because of that, we've shifted all of our focus back to in-studio classes and providing offerings there, and not really doing anything online right now, unless we have to, which if we have to go back into quarantine, then of course we'll go back to online. But as far as, you know, financially, I think that we have been very blessed as a small business. Even though, you know, I don't have any formal business training, I've always been a very cautious person. And financially, just from day one, I've kind of always been setting the financial status of the business to be able to survive something like this. And so had no clue the pandemic was coming, but just always knew that, you know, you need to have a lot of cash on hand to run your business in case something like this goes down. You need to be able to pay rent for 6 months in case something happens. And when we first opened, you know, my primary driving goal was to have enough money on hand to pay rent for a year if we needed to, without bringing any income into the studio. And so I think from day one, having that mindset really, really, really helped and saved my studio.
The pandemic is obviously a big issue for all business owners, but are there other issues, I guess, in regular times, in normal times, that you have faced because you're Black? Because I've heard people say that being a minority business owner can be difficult. So as a minority business owner, what are some of the challenges that you face, pandemic not included, that perhaps your white counterparts don't?
Woo. Well, I don't know where to start on that one. It's fairly hard as an African American here in Jonesboro to start a business. The racism is alive and well here, and it's out in the open. It's not hidden. We're all grown here, so we can, you know, it's alive and well here. It's not hidden. It's not, you know, tucked away. They will let you know, you know, it, you know, my first barbershop here in town was, it was a little, one man suite. I'm gonna leave the name of the, you know, building, nameless, but, at the time, it was maybe 2 African-American, 2 Black people in the whole establishment. you know, and we all represented our own business within inside of that building. And it was just a lot of racism. Not you know, specifically from the people in the building, but like some of the customers, they was like, because I overheard the night I was putting everything together for my grand opening. And it was a client of another worker was like, excuse my language. They was like, where did that color come from? And I knew that night it was going to be a problem. But by the grace of God, my clientele outgrew my, you know, my establishment in that building in 3 months. So that's why I relocated to a bigger shop of my own. And I'm downtown Main Street. I've heard so much, you know, and the killer part is some of the cruel things that I heard that really did taint my business was said right in front of law enforcement. It was a Chinese restaurant next door to my barbershop. They would, you know, the law enforcement, the police officers and the sheriff department, they would frequent that restaurant. And it's a two-lane, one-way street that I'm on. So quite naturally, it's a traffic light right there on the corner. So I can interact with people that's in the street. I've heard, you know, I don't know if I can get too graphic, but I've heard a lot of racial slurs come from the street. And one of them even got out the vehicle while the light was red and called me all kind of names. And the police was standing on the sidewalk right beside me. And the police looked at me and laughed and walked away. Now it could have went left field. You know, it could have went left field. They walked off and went in and had their lunch while I was, you know, being harassed. You know, it was even times that I would get there early and I would be the only worker on the entire downtown early in the morning. The police would stop and like, what are you doing over here? You know, can I see some ID? And I'm like, this is my establishment. And I would still have to go through all the, let me see your ID. How do I know you're, you know, this is your place of business? It was times that for one instance, the landlord I was renting from, for some odd reason that morning, he showed up downtown. And he seen the police with his lights on, backup came, and he was like, what's going on? He pulled up and he was like, what's going on? And I'm like, they saying that I don't belong down here, and I'm they asked him for my ID. And he was like, well, I'm the landlord. He's renting from me. This is his big business. And they was like, oh, okay, we was just making sure because it was we were just trying to identify with him because he fit the description for somebody that has been breaking in houses and businesses, you know, around the downtown area. You know, it's a lot. It's more to it, but I'm gonna let Ms. Calhoun.
Yeah, and that's insane to me, first of all, but not surprising. In the yoga world, you do have and are faced with, you know, racism, but it's very covert and it's very subtle. And as a Black woman who owns a yoga studio, you know, even in Northwest Arkansas, we have definitely experienced things, not to the extent, you know, where it's outright, you know, somebody's calling me the N-word, those types of things, but just people trying to undermine, you know, what you're doing and what you're offering, saying, you know, I've heard that it doesn't belong, it's not right. And, you know, cause we play hip hop music and I've had studio owners from other studios say that we're trying to steal their clientele and we're trying to poach their teachers and all these things because their clients chose to attend our yoga studio and not somebody else's. Been told several times that I'm a divisive figure because I speak up about these things, about the covert racism that we experience in the yoga world and how it's not right, and, you know, call people out on it. And then I get labeled the angry Black woman that, you know, I'm trying to divide a community, trying to create issues where there are no issues. And that all the experiences that I have had and other people have had are just, we're taking them out of context. It's just, it's in your head. Nobody thinks like that, but it's not out of context. So it's just a lot of things like gaslighting and all the way to tokenism, where, you know, you have people trying to include you only after things, all the Black Lives Matter protests come up, and then they want to make people see, like, make people think that they're, you know, really into the movement, but, you know, some of the same people who are creating tokenism in the yoga community now are the same people who were trying to shut me down as a Black businesswoman, as a Black yoga teacher and a business owner in this area. So it's just, you know, once you get past the overt racism of people doing things like Christopher talked about, then you get to these very subtle racism, which a lot of times is harder to detect and harder to fight. But for me, it's more subtle.
Well, that's a lot. Thank you both for sharing that. And I imagine 2020 has been super rough then, you know, on top of these, the racism that you deal with as being a Black business owner and then a pandemic. So with just being a business owner, that part of it, it's been a rough year, I'm sure. How do you feel going forward? Do you have any strategies in place to keep going and to keep thriving? And how can community members help support you? Like, I know that there have been, efforts to support Black businesses. And like you said, sometimes it seems maybe not genuine because, you know, it just seems like the popular thing to do. But for those that really actually do want to support Black business in Arkansas, how can they do that? What's the best way that they can, you know, find minority owned businesses or support you? You know, maybe I'm not good at yoga. You know, what can I do?
Well, as a business owner, I would keep striving for a better year. Next year, I would just continue to pray and, you know, try to lead by example and practice what I preach. Because a lot of people don't do that. You know, they like, you know, Ms. Calhoun said, you know, people will talk a good game. They'll, you know, in your face, they'll, you know, support you, or they'll support your movement or whatever you have going on in front of your face. But what goes on behind your back is more important. Are you the same behind my back as you are in front of me? As far as the support, that goes hand in hand with, you know, you just have to deal with like-minded people. You know, it's harder for me because it's just me, you know, and I'm not putting any other businesses down, but, you know, like in the hair business, it's not a whole lot of heavy support. You know, it's a lot of people would like, you know, it's not a lot of, you know. And I was actually told this, you know, by, you know, when I was downtown, it was like, that's not a real job. You're wasting space in a building. You're playing. It's not a real job, you know. And I'm like, you know, find out the type of person I am before you judge me, you know. And especially here in Jonesboro, if you're African American, they're gonna automatically assume you're a gangbanger, you're a drug dealer. That's the MO that they go by. That's what they go by. That's their thing that they go by. If you're African American, I've been pulled over so many times. Just coming from my business, you know, what are you doing down here? It's kind of hard. It's just like I said, it's a thing that you just have to pray about. And you have to target the type of, you know, supportive people that you want. And that's hard to do because, like I said, like, you know, and like Ms. Calhoun said, you know, people talk a good game in front of you. But the thing is, you have to keep moving regardless if they support you or not. Regardless of the race or whatever, you know, you just have to keep, you just have to just pray about it and just keep moving.
Yeah, I really agree with what Chris said about people acting or behaving in front of you in a certain way and then being completely different behind your back. So the thing about it to me is, because I actually was invited to a phone meeting after when all the Black Lives Matter protest things were happening by, you know, all that was set up for all the yoga studio owners within Northwest Arkansas to be a part of, and they're all white. I'm the only person of color. And just about how to make Black people feel more welcome in yoga studios and about how to just better serve the Black community. And when I was invited to the meeting, I said, you know, I will come, but I'm not leading this meeting. Like, it's not my job to teach anybody how to make Black people feel welcome in their business. If that was something that you really felt passionate about, you would have figured it out by now. And this Black Lives Matter would not have been the driving catalyst for you to do that. That's my first and primary message to them. And I was told, okay, you know, of course we don't expect you to lead anything, but, you know, so I decided to go and listen. And it's just all the things that I hear, you know, at the end of the day are what's truly called tokenism. You know, you're only doing these things not because they really matter to you, but because you want to present a certain image to the world that you are this way when you're not really this way. And, you know, some of the ideas that I heard people throwing around was like, hey, you know, when you have Black people come into your studio, ask them if you can take a picture of them and post it on social media so that Black people know they're welcome here. And I just, you know, I just let them talk. You know, as a Black person who wants to walk into a yoga studio or anywhere in here, hey, can I take a picture of you? Because you know why they want to take a picture of you. And they just don't understand and see that that's not the appropriate thing to do. The way you can't live this way in a business unless you live this way in real life. And that was the only piece of advice that I offered all of them. You cannot bring diversity, inclusion, and representation into your business unless you have those things in your life. And the people that you surround yourself with and the friends that you go to dinner with and the friends that you post on your social media. So if you can't live it in real life, it's not going to happen organically in your business. And so my advice is to make some Black friends and then start from there, trying to incorporate diversity into your business. But anybody could support us by incorporating those things into their real life, actually being diverse in your real life, actually being inclusive in your real life, actually being passionate about representation because you know what it means and what it stands for, not because it's trendy. Calling your friends out when you know and experience racism from them, calling them out and offering not only them, but yourself an opportunity to be educated about all of this, because it's all a lack of education. And what we see mostly from the white community is an inability or a lack of concern of educating themselves about racism. And so I think that once people can do that, then all Black businesses will be supported. As far as financially supportive, if the only thing that you could do is for, if you're somebody far away, you know, call a Black business, email a Black business, tell them that, you know, I don't like yoga, or I don't like to work out, or I live in New York. How can I support you? Is there any financial support I can offer? And I guarantee you, as a small business owner, every single Black business owner is going to say, yes, if you'd like to make a financial donation, we would love that. But so that, and also getting the word out, giving Black people platforms to speak. You know, if you post about a Black business on your social media channels and why you like them, or if you're in a position of power to offer somebody a platform to speak or to spread awareness about their business, that would be great. So those are ways that you can, even if you don't like yoga, that you can support a Black business.
Or maybe just go try a yoga class and maybe you like it. You never know.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for sharing your insight and your stories today. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you so much for organizing this.
Our guests today were Christopher Austin, owner of Catch and Fade's Barbershop in Jonesboro, and Nicole Calhoun, owner of Elixir Yoga Lounge in Fayetteville. You can find out more about their businesses by visiting Elixir, that's E-L-X-R, yogalounge.com. You can also search for Catch and Fades on Facebook. For links to some of the research contained within this episode, visit our website, argotsoul.com/affirmativeaction. While you're there, you can also catch up on previous episodes of the program where we discuss topics like the effects of the pandemic on the health of minority communities, political representation, and Black Lives Matter protests. Remember, you can also subscribe and rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We'll be back next month with a brand new episode of Affirmative Action. Until then, stay safe and take care.